English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Nous allons découvrir l'hospitalité sénégalaise avec Linda, la touriste anglaise, qui ne serait complète sans Ataya ou thé sénégambien. Nous allons écouter le grand frère, Joe, son petit frère, et Linda, la touriste anglaise. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, aux deux phrases que vous allez entendre. 1. Le grand frère sert le thé à Linda. 2. En Mauritanie aussi, on sert du thé fort, comme au Sénégal. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Pourquoi le second verre de thé est-il plus léger que le premier? 2. Sans quoi l'ataya n'est-il pas un vrai ataya pour le grand frère? 3. Quelle marque de thé Joe a-t-il utilisé? Vous allez apprendre les mots relatifs au matériel et aux ingrédients du thé sénégambien. Vous apprendrez ensuite les ordinaux. Vous apprendrez enfin comment faire une comparaison en anglais en utilisant des adjectifs.
Joe, come and make some tea for our guest, Linda. 3 cups, of course.
1 cup will be enough, thank you.
Only 1 cup? Linda, this is not British tea. We drink it all day long, not only at 5 o'clock. This is Ataya, a Senegalese tea, and it makes 3 cups.
I've had Mauritanian tea, but this looks quite different. Where's the teapot?
Right here. Of course, it's not a delicate porcelain teapot.
Ataya is made with this small charcoal stove and served in small glasses.
Ataya is much stronger than Mauritanian tea. The first cup is the strongest.
What about the second cup?
The second cup is lighter and sweeter. We add sugar and fresh mint leaves to the brewing tea.
And the third cup is like nectar. It's the sweetest one.
I like the way you pour the tea, how it foams in the cups.
My little brother is an expert. Without foam, it's not real ataya.
Here, Linda, have your first cup.
Too strong, Joe.
Really? And this is only crazy camel tea, not as strong as iron powder.
Joe, you're only 20 years old. I'm over 40. Could you please add water, sugar, and mint?
That's a sweet infusion, then. And Linda, without foam.
I know. Without foam, it's not real ataya.
Nous avons entendu Linda et ses hôtes autour du thé. L'énoncé 1 est faux. Le grand frère sert le thé à Linda. L'énoncé 2 est faux. En Mauritanie aussi, on sert du thé fort, comme au Sénégal. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Pourquoi le second verre de thé est-il plus léger que le premier? Il est plus sucré et parfumé aux feuilles de menthe fraîches. 2. Sans quoi l'ataya n'est-il pas un vrai ataya pour le grand frère? Sans la mousse. 3. Quelle marque de thé Joe a-t-il utilisé? Crazy Camel. Vous voulez faire du thé comme Joe? Commencez par connaître le matériel requis et sa traduction en anglais. Écoutez et répétez. Fourneau, stove. Théière, teapot. Verre, glasses. Charbon de bois, charcoal. Répétez ces ordinaux. First, second, third. Pour les autres ordinaux, ils se terminent par les lettres TH, par exemple, fourth, fifth, sixth, etc. Répétez maintenant ces phrases.
Ataya is much stronger than Mauritanian tea. The second cup is lighter and sweeter.
Nous avons là des comparatifs de supériorité avec des adjectifs courts. Il suffit d'ajouter les lettres « er » à l'adjectif suivi de « than » qu'on peut parfois omettre. En français, il donne « plus » suivi de l'adjectif et de « que » dans l'expression « plus que ». Par exemple, « Joe is younger than Linda ». Écoutez aussi ces phrases. « The first cup is the strongest ». The third cup is the sweetest. Linda is the oldest. Ces comparaisons sont des superlatifs. En français, ils donnent le plus suivi de l'adjectif. Nous avons pris le thé avec Linda et ses hôtes. Maintenant, vous savez de quoi vous avez besoin pour faire du thé sénégambien ou ataya. Vous connaissez les ingrédients pour faire un bon ataya. Vous savez dire premier, deuxième, troisième, etc. Vous savez même comparer. Et n'oubliez pas de faire mousser votre ataya. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com.
Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Dans quelques instants, nous allons entendre une conversation entre Kathy et Max, qui parlent de leur invité, Pat Miller. Who is our guest today? Qui est notre invité aujourd'hui? Guest, invité. Max et Kathy sont des collègues à la radio. Ils font des interviews. La première chose que Max va dire quand il commence à travailler, c'est « Hi, what's up? »
« Hi, Kathy, what's up? »
« Salut, quoi de neuf? » Une expression passe-partout, très américaine, qui ne suscite aucune réponse spécifique. Pas du tout ce qu'on dirait lors d'une rencontre formelle, mais tout à fait acceptable entre collègues de longue date. « Hi, what's up ?» Une réponse toute simple, « Not much », pas grand-chose.
« Hi, Kathy, what's up ?»«
Not much. » »«
Who's our guest today ?»«
Today, Pat Miller is back with us. »
Autre phrase. « She's a college student, isn't she ?» Elle est étudiante, n'est-ce pas ?
She's a college student, isn't she?
College signifie ici université, pas collège. Max est presque sûr que Pat Miller est étudiante, mais il a besoin d'une confirmation, d'où la question à la fin de la phrase, isn't she?
She's a college student, isn't she?
Puisque la question ne demande qu'une confirmation, Kathy va y répondre de cette manière. That's right.
That's right.
C'est juste. C'est correct.
She's a college student, isn't she?
That's right. She goes to American University.
Nous allons aussi parler de l'heure. En anglais, on ajoute le terme « o'clock » qui pourrait se traduire par « à l'horloge ». L'heure se traduit par « hour », à ne pas confondre avec « o'clock ». On dit « 10 o'clock », 10 heures, ce qui n'est pas la même chose que « 10 hours », qui veut dire une durée de 10 heures. Écoutez et répétez à haute voix.
Listen and repeat.
1 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Pendant cette interview que vont faire Kathy et Max avec Pat Miller, l'étudiante, nous allons découvrir qu'elle étudie l'art dramatique, qu'elle veut devenir actrice, donc elle se rend au théâtre régulièrement, à Washington et aussi à New York, pour voir des spectacles à Broadway. Broadway shows. Pour y aller, elle prend le train.
Interview.
Now it's time for today's interview. Our guest today is Pat Miller. Hi, Pat. You're a college student.
That's right. I go to American University.
What are you studying?
I'm studying drama.
Do you go to many plays?
Yes, I do. I see a lot of plays here in Washington. And sometimes my friend Sandy and I go to New York to see Broadway shows.
Nous allons donc découvrir les mots utilisés pour les horaires des trains. The train leaves at 6 o'clock. Le train quitte à 6 heures. Les deux verbes à retenir ici, to leave, quitter, to arrive, arriver. It arrives in New York at 11. It est le pronom qui remplace train. Quand vous utilisez des moyens de transport, vous allez utiliser l'expression to go by car, to go by train, to go by plane, by bus. Ici, Pat Miller répond à Kathy et Max en disant we go by train.
We go by train.
Oui, nous. Elle parle d'elle et son amie Sandy. Écoutez la conversation qui suit.
New York? How do you get there?
We go by train. We go and come back the same day.
Really?
Yes, it's not a long trip.
When do the trains leave?
The first train to New York leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's very early.
Yes, it is. We usually take the 7 o'clock train.
When does it arrive in New York?
It arrives in New York at 11. It takes about 4 hours.
Quand on voyage, on a besoin de savoir quelle heure il est. Et si on n'a pas de montre, on peut demander What time is it? Quelle heure est-il? Écoutez et répétez. What time is it? It is 2 o'clock. En contraction, it's 2 o'clock.
Listen and repeat.
2 o'clock. What time is it? It's 2 o'clock. 2:15. What time is it? It's 2:15. 2:30. What time is it? It's 2:30. 2:45. What time is it? It's 2:45.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Michel Joseph à la Voix de l'Amérique, heureuse de vous retrouver pour cette 23e leçon d'anglais English USA. Au cours de notre prochaine leçon, nous retrouverons Martin Lerner dans son bureau. Il parle de sport avec ses collègues et ils discutent tous d'activités futures. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Quand il s'agit du futur, en anglais, vous pensez tout de suite à going to. I'm going to. You're going to. He's going to. She's going to. We're going to. They're going to. Vous apprendrez à demander à quelqu'un ce qu'il va faire bientôt. ou plus tard.
Do you like rock music?
Yes, I do. I like all music. What do you like?
Everything.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't like...
Excuse me, Martin.
Let's talk about
Good morning,
music.
Howard. Good
First,
morning, Waleed.
About your music.
Can we talk to you?
Laurie, you're
sure,
singer.
Come in.
That's right.
We're going to watch baseball tonight. Can you go with us?
Not tonight. I'm going to take the children to their grandparents.
Aren't they in Chicago?
My parents are in Chicago. My wife's parents are in Ocean City. We're going to Ocean City.
Are the children going to stay in Ocean City?
Yes, they're going to stay for 5 days.
That's nice.
Does your son like that?
Oh, yes. His friends are there.
My son doesn't like visiting his grandparents. They live in the country.
His friends are here.
That's right.
Doesn't he like his family?
Yes, he likes them. He likes his friends, too.
You can't go with us tonight.
Can you go on Thursday?
Sure.
Okay, let's go on Thursday.
Are you going to watch tonight?
Sure, and we're going to watch on Thursday.
See you later.
Goodbye. Hello, Eileen. What are we going to do on Saturday? Kara's daughter is going to swim in Baltimore on Saturday. Kara, in the afternoon?
Yes, she's going to swim in the afternoon.
She's going to swim in the afternoon. It's a swim meet. Okay, goodbye. We can come on Saturday.
Can your daughter come?
No, she's visiting her grandparents in Ocean City. Can you come to our house?
No, thank you. We have to come home.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you on Saturday.
Do you like rock music?
Yes, I do. I like all music. What do you like?
Martin,
everything.
Howard and I are going to eat. Can you come?
Yes. I'm going to finish this story later.
Voici comment on pose des questions sur une activité ou un projet futur. Écoutez bien ces questions et ces réponses.
What are you going to do?
We're going to watch baseball tonight.
What are the children going to do?
They're going to stay in Ocean City. What is she going to do?
She's going to swim tonight.
What are you going to do?
We're going to eat.
Demandez à Martin Lerner ce qu'il va faire. Il vous donnera trois réponses différentes. Rappelez-vous, la question est « What are you going to do ?»« What are you going to do ?» Allez-y, demandez-lui.
We're going to watch the swim meet. We're going to watch baseball. I'm going to take the children to their grandparents.
What are you going to eat?
I'm going to have a sandwich.
Martin, what are you going to have?
I'm going to have a bowl of soup.
What are you going to drink?
I'm going to have coffee.
I'm going to have coffee too.
I'm going to go to the market. I'm going to walk to school. I'm going to phone my husband. Faites bien la différence entre l'usage du verbe to go. Au présent actif, le verbe to go, c'est I'm going. Par exemple, I'm going to the movies. Je vais au cinéma. I'm going to the movies. Ou bien, I'm going to the restaurant. C'est différent du futur. Avec le futur, vous utilisez I'm going to et vous ajoutez le verbe qui suit, qui est celui qui donne le sens à la phrase. Par exemple, I'm going to go to the movies tomorrow. I'm going to eat at the restaurant. Futur, I'm going to. Pratiquez entre amis. I'm going to. You're going to. He's going to. She's going to. We're going to. You're going to. They're going to. Et voilà qui termine cette 23e leçon d'anglais English USA. Nous avons encore appris à parler un peu au futur et à demander quelques questions. Restez à l'écoute pour la prochaine fois. À bientôt. Goodbye.
Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais?
C'est fait.
Avec Anglais Télé, notre programme interactif télé multimédia.
C'est à votre tour de parler.
It's your turn to talk.
No, it's my turn to talk.
No, it's their turn to talk.
Mais vous aurez l'occasion d'intervenir en direct.
Et de pratiquer l'anglais avec...
Michel.
Et Roger.
Nous répondrons à vos questions.
Nous vous aiderons à formuler vos phrases. Participez à Anglais Télé.
Retrouvez-nous aussi sur notre groupe Facebook Anglais Télé.
And welcome back to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. My name is Michelle Joseph. You can find us on Facebook, Anglais Télé. I have a guest with me.
Je m'appelle Daniel. Bienvenue, Michelle, aussi.
Bienvenue, you're Daniel. Right. Welcome to Anglais Télé. We're very happy to have you. We are looking at suffixes and prefixes. Prefixes first. So,
right.
These are the little letters that go before a word to change the meaning, or after a word in the case of suffix,
right,
to change the meaning. So how about a in front of word or an? So like asocial, you know, someone who really does not like social situations.
That's
he's asocial.
That person is not doesn't like being around people.
Right. So
doesn't like doing anything with people.
Right. And it's interesting that that is a negative, the or an, like anesthetic, something that's going to put you to sleep, basically an.
Right.
Or an anesthesic. There's another one that's medical where it also puts you, it numbs you. It just ends all pain.
Correct. But you can use for a lot of, for titles to a movie.
A movie?
A trip, a plane, a flight.
Oh, yeah, but in this case, it's not attached to the word. It's
separate. Oh, right,
separate.
It's a separate,
right. Yeah, because A in that place, in A, in that regard, is used as a
modifier
article,
for the,
an article.
Yeah.
A movie, or an article.
Right.
But that's quite different
but
from...
But that's not a prefix.
Asocial.
Right.
Amoral. Apolitical. He's not political at all.
Right.
He's apolitical. So, yeah, it's hearing. You have to hear the context in which the word is used.
Right.
And understand that it means something that has nothing in it without something.
Right.
Actually, we can follow that up with ab, like... something that's abnormal, that's nearly like, you can't say anormal.
No.
In French, you can. Anormal, c'est anormal, actually. But in English, they'll say ab, which means it's away from, it's also distinct from. So,
well,
ab,
like abstain.
Or to abstain.
Or you put yourself away from doing something that you want not to do, or somebody doesn't want you to do, or wants you to do.
So you abstain.
You say, I'm going to abstain from that.
Or to abduct someone, abduct, you're taking that person and moving them to another place. And how about ambi? Ambi, it reminds me of the bi that we saw earlier.
Right.
Ambi means both at the same time, like
ambidextrous. Right.
My dad is ambidextrous.
I wish I was.
That means you can use your right hand and left hand, both of them comfortably. I have a son who's kind of like
you
that.
You can play baseball with this way or this way.
Right.
You can golf this way or that way.
So ambidextrous,
right?
And
yeah.
Or ambivalent. So you have the both ideas and you're not sure, and so you're ambivalent.
And so you don't really want to make any rush into any decision at all.
Right, no commitment
no,
at all.
That's it. It means no commitment.
Because you're in the middle. You're à cheval, as they say in French.
Exactly.
À cheval. So your legs are on both sides of the issue and...
And you're not anywhere.
Exactly. Ooh, ambivalent.
Yeah.
My name is Michelle Joseph, and I have with me our guest,
Dan Crafton, bienvenue, Michelle.
Dan Crafton, bienvenue, Dan. Yeah. Thanks for coming here and being with us again.
Thanks for inviting me.
And as always, I choose to have Dan with me to explain different parts of American culture in the way an American can. And so, right? And so today we're going to talk about human emotions. And Dan and I have shared earlier that animals also have emotions, or
they have every emotion that we have.
Exactly. They express these same emotions, but we're going to stick to human beings for now.
Yeah. I think they animal do in a different way.
Right. But we are all complicated species, and the human species has a range of emotions, right?
Right.
And all of us recognize these emotions. So we're going to look at them closely in English for you, and we're going to have fun with that.
Right.
Okay.
And you can start, Michelle.
I'm going to start. Thank you, Dan. And, well, we're going to start with something really positive that all of us can relate to, of course, and that is joy. La joie in French. And
la joie de vivre.
La joie de vivre. That sums right? it up. And I think right. actually in English, Americans use that expression.
They do.
Because it's just so authentic and it just grabs that meaning very well. So the joy of living, la joie de vivre.
When they go to the Mardi Gras, they all have that.
Mardi Gras.
Yeah, right. yeah.
Well, so joy, I think everyone can relate to. It's happiness. It's uplifting.
Right.
Anything else about that emotion?
Oh, it makes you feel great about living.
Yes, and as though we are walking on clouds.
Right.
And what I like about joy, it's contagious.
Oh, yes.
I'm joyful, you're going to feel joyful.
If you're in a crowd of depressed people and you're joyful, they're usually going to be joyful.
Exactly, because it's very difficult to stop this exuberance and this feeling.
It's almost like a disease.
Ooh.
It's contagious.
All right, so that's...
If the person is positive enough.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So joy is contagious. It spreads. Actually, we can use the same terms as a... It spreads.
Like a disease, right?
It has a reach. It has a wide reach.
Right.
A wonderful human emotion. I would like to follow joy with love. Let's stick to the positive ones right now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, love, I think everyone understands. L'amour, le grand amour, which is an emotion similar to joy in that it's also contagious. It's very powerful.
Meilleur et meilleur.
Meilleur et meilleur,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Better and better and better.
Yeah.
And love, of course, is just an immense category.
And when you're in love, nothing is wrong.
Okay, being in love is être amoureux, which is a bit different from that big love. It's
a
part of that big love.
Yeah, I mean, that can encompass love of family, friends, wives, girlfriends.
Love of life.
Right, love of life.
Someone who's full of love.
Your love of being alive.
Yes.
You know.
And caring for your fellow human beings and
good friends.
Right. So that's a wonderful
emotion.
And I'm going to top that off with trust.
Oh, yeah, because without trust, there is no love.
La confiance.
right.
Sans confiance, il n'y a pas d'amour. Without love, no trust. That's a wonderful way of putting that.
I just made that up.
Well, it fits. It fits.
Yeah.
Without trust, there is no love.
Or love is hard.
Yes, because trusting, actually, it relates to the heart as well. To entrust someone with, you know, with your heart or with everything.
With your feelings.
With your directions.
With your life. And if you lose trust, it's very hard to maintain love.
Absolutely. So trust and love go together. So we looked at joy, love, and trust, all of them kind of work together.
Right.
As a very positive, beautiful human emotions.